This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, hour number two here in our beautiful Brighton studios. I'm just going to keep saying beautiful. You can be the judge of that for yourself if you work here, but I like it. And it is powered by our friends at Verizon, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and now Ted Johnson. How are we doing today,
hey boys,
Ted?
I'm doing great. How are we doing?
We are tremendous, and we are ready, as always, here at 3 o'clock for the three-point stance.
319! 180!
318!
318! Yeah, there you go! What's that?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for the three-point stance. Three hosts at 3 o'clock with their three biggest takes on the sports stories and sometimes other stories floating around today. Our order for today is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Each host gets 60 seconds to present their opening take, and then we'll open it up for discussion after each host has gone. Andy Hart, you lead us off as always. Are you ready to roll?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you're 60 seconds and definitely not spent screaming at a certain group of people or a take starts right now.
Two things have come together this week for me to create this take. One, mock drafts continue to flow, and I continue to read them and think, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. Top 10 picks, questionable. Quarterback sneaking in, a third quarterback, Jackson Dart. And then I've started doing my film study, my film work on some of these prospects, starting to put together my own little scouting reports that I do every year. And I have a hot take. There will be more busts than stars in the top 10 picks in the 2025 NFL draft. I am starting to get scared of almost everybody. Radio scared, not really scared. And Ted Johnson's been on this. We've talked a little bit about this. I think there might be only two players that are going to go in the top 10 that I would feel really confident saying I guarantee they will not be a bust. Tyler Warren, Ashton Jeanty, a tight end and a running back. Almost everybody else, there are either big red flags, little arms, little hands, slow 40 times, all of these various issues. The quarterbacks, I think, flat out are not franchise quarterbacks. Now you tell me three of them are going in the top 10. This top 10 of this draft, and the Patriots have the fourth pick, so it's not great, is not good. There is not a lot of blue chip talent. Even the blue chip talent has questions because you don't know what position he's going to play. This draft is littered with not best player available, but bust player available.
Bust player available. Oh, look
wow.
At that.
At what point in the car ride up here did you think of that and go, that's pretty good?
Yeah, you know, it's a long ride. So at some point, you're right. Idea came to me.
Hour and a half. Yeah, that's a long time to think of quips like that. Okay, so Andy sees big bust potential in this year's draft class.
I like big busts, and I cannot lie.
Specifically, the top 10. Nick Fitzy-Stevens.
That was an affront to so many different groups. On behalf of everyone on this show, the station, I apologize. And the parodies of Andy Hart do not reflect everyone here at the afternoon show.
And it remains a day that ends in Y with Andy Hart with those. All right, Nick, you are going second as always. Are you ready to roll?
I am ready to both rock and roll. Shall we begin, Dan?
Yes, we shall. You can both rock and roll right now.
All right. I remember Ted Johnson last week, maybe a week and a half ago. Perhaps it was our live broadcast, thanks to our friends at Jameson, that we did scores last week before the Celtics Thunder game, where you said you thought it would be a good idea for the New England Patriots to that's how Ted strikes. To trade Joe Milton, because if Joe Milton really sees himself as a starting quarterback, then you don't want to have that kind of uncertainty, that pressure, that agitation nipping at Drake May in this very important second year, his first year with Josh McDaniels. A point well taken, understood, and largely agreed with. However, as I've had a couple of days to think on it, and rumors have swirled around that Joe Milton could be traded for, should some team be quarterback desperate enough, a third-round draft pick, or at least that's the rumor to what the Patriots would be asking. And it's at this point I say it's far too early to be considering trading Joe Milton. Besides wanting to have a capable, mobile, and strong-armed backup, you don't want to actually not find out, pardon my double negative, what this asset is worth. We don't know if he could be worth more, a second, a first. And as Andy says, it's a bust player available draft. You may have the best quarterback of 2025. Develop him and see what he's ultimately worth. It's too soon, Ted.
Wow, another take like the fans, you know, that Joe Milton is the guy. I don't know, man.
No, it's too soon. Like, you don't want to, like, buy that stock, make a couple bucks and go, yeah, I made money.
I tell you what. We're going to have
grow.
Time. I go both ways on this, so we'll talk about it, though, Fitz. Okay. I hear you, brother.
Yes, save those takes. We'll get to that in just a moment's time. But before all of that, Ted Johnson, are you ready for your 3-point stance?
I'm ready, brother.
All right, well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, you know, guys, the NCAA tournament, I used to be a big fan of. You know, I'm not the biggest college basketball fan, but I'm a fan of just the event. It's a great event. You know, I grew up in Houston where the Five Slam and Jamma, if you guys remember, 1980.
Sure,
I remember exactly the airliner, the pub I was at. I'll never forget where I was when I was, 8 years old watching that in Houston, how just the city just got crazy for that team. And there's just been so many great memories in the NCAA tournament. But I don't know, at this time, with the changing of the rules, with the NIL money, with the transfer portal, with all the TV money, it just is kind of lost a lot of its luster for me. And I'm just not into it anymore. You know, the NIL money encourages us transferring. The transfer portal, there's no continuity in any of these rosters. There's no developing. It kind of discourages kids that pick the schools to go originally from staying at that school and seeing it through. You know, there's a lot of older kids you see that are playing in the NCAA tournament, and it just has lost to me a lot of taking a lot of the fun out of it. I don't recognize the team, the poor play. You know, so kids aren't getting developed because they're transferring all the time. It's not about the schools or the conferences. It's more of a professional model. There's not parity anymore, and it feels like an MLB league, if you will. So I'm just not into the NCAA tournament anymore for those reasons, boys.
And Ted brings the thunder.
And I will just real quickly before you go on in, I will reference an article that Dan Shaughnessy wrote today that will back up some of my stuff that I couldn't agree with him more whenever it is my turn. But that's how I feel about it. Like
okay.
It.
I want to bounce back to Fitzy's point about Joe Milton, and I want to go to Ted because you were hot on that after Fitzy finished his 60 seconds. The idea that continues to float around, trade Drake May for the picks, or the rumor that Fitzy was referencing from somebody out of Cleveland saying that the Patriots were asking for a third-round pick in exchange for Joe Milton. Where do you fall on the quarterback conversation, Ted, because you reacted when that topic was brought up?
You know, because, I'm a fan of what Joe Milton brings to the table, and I just like the profile of the player that I think he's kind of, there's similar things that the starting quarterback can do with Joe Milton, who's currently the backup quarterback, or the third string quarterback with Josh Dobbs. I think all three quarterbacks can all have similar type athletic skills. I think Drake May is on another level, but you get my point.
And I just worry that Joe Milton has probably been all offseason told that he should be playing. He needs a chance. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. The Giants, the Jets, the Steelers, the Vikings, all these teams that are, the Raiders got their guy now. But you see my point is that they're getting in his head. I could just see that maybe behind the scenes playing out in a way that maybe hampers the development of Drake May. Oh, but if Drake May can't handle it, I get that argument too. If you can't handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen kind of thing. But I just think this kid's special. I don't want him having to worry about the backup chomping at his heels. If he's because behind the scenes, and I talked about it, Bailey Zappe versus Mac Jones, I don't think that was a healthy relationship. I don't think that was a professional relationship. And the one position, out of all the positions on the football field, that's the one I feel like you got to be a little bit more careful with. And so I'm just a little bit nervous about how does Joe Milton handle himself behind the scenes now? Does he see himself as a starter? And is that going to maybe create problems behind the scenes? I don't know. I mean, the Josh Dobbs thing, to me, kind of came out of nowhere when they got him the first day of free agency. So I just worry about that to some degree, him being there, his presence. Because, I listened to the show yesterday. There were people calling in saying, talking about Joe Milton being a better quarterback than Drake May.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, fans, hello, I just can't believe that people think that Joe Milton is a better option than Drake May. I can't believe it. Well, Ted, he only won one game. Drake May did. I get it. Did you see how bad his defense was, his offensive line, his coaching, and his receiver core was? The kid is a brilliant player. Please, no more of the Joe Milton over Drake May stuff. I just worry about Joe Milton being a distraction to Drake, and that's why I'm a little bit more open to the idea of trading him more than I was maybe at the start of a free agency.
So to me, this is a debate for both of you guys in a weird way about value. You're saying Drake May is so valuable, you try to make everything right to develop his value. And Fitzy's, where I kind of side with Fitzy here is quarterbacks are super valuable. And if you can get one more developmental year out of Joe Milton, he could be a second round pick. There's not enough quarterbacks to go around and somebody could fall in love with him. He's easy to fall in love with because he's big, strong-armed, athletic, great smile. He says all the right things.
He throws 80-yard passes without even the flick of the wrist, Andy.
You could sucker somebody.
That's exactly what it is, Andy. This is a lot of times you think about like a night at the casino with your friends, a bachelor party. You go up early and you're like, somebody's like, take that $1,000 upstairs now before you get drunk and put it in the safe and just play the rest of the night on $200 with house money, right?
Let it ride.
Hmm. Yes. And then sometimes you, perfect. And then sometimes you're like, well, I made money early. I'm up 50. Let me walk away because I'm just here for the memories. Maybe, the steak dinner was the joy all along. No, sometimes you don't want to walk away from the table early. Joe Milton is the table you want to play carefully, smartly, and you want to be sober about it. And honestly, Ted, if he has a great preseason, if he sees any game action, we obviously hope not, none of it's meaningful, but if he sees any game action, his stock should only go up with every one of these, Andy, Instagram 80-yard, Bazooka Joe throws. There's a GM around the league that's going, guys, we got to call New England. Like this, these quarterbacks stink. This, we could make this kid something. If Mayo and McDaniels and everyone, AVP, can turn this kid into a starter level quarterback, we could win with him.
Can I ask you guys what the top two qualities you thought Tom Brady brought to the quarterback position were? What?
Handsome and awesome.
So
decision making and accuracy.
Decision making and accuracy. Okay.
I would say compete, Ted. I would also say his refuse to lose. Like that might be my favorite thing about Brady
You guys, none of those were mentioned when you mentioned Joe Milton. You talked about backflips and a big arm. That's all you backflips and a big arm. Overrated. Big arm is overrated. The quarterback position is about accuracy and IQ. That's the most important aspects of quarterbacking, not big arm and backflips. Please.
But people fall in love with those things. That was my point.
People sucker born every day, Ted Johnson.
Yeah, people do, but other teams don't. Other teams that will be trading with you don't. They don't look at that and they go, oh, the guy's got a big arm. They've all known he's had a big arm. They had chance to draft him.
Developing him.
Six rounds went through before somebody said, you know what? I'll take that. You know what? I'll give a chance to the big arm guy, and that's basically what happened. I mean, if the Patriots don't draft him, who knows if he even would have got drafted.
But the reality is, and I can tell you, I watched virtually every practice last year, and I watched the preseason games. He was better than I expected. He was better throughout the totality of August action, and then I guess you include the Bills at the back end of the season. I had low expectations for him. I thought he was what you were saying, just a raw, strong-armed, he's never side developed. Long ball hitter, longest drive guy. That's all he could do. I actually saw him hit a couple chips and a couple putts along the way.
Was he going against the ones? Was he going against the Buffalo Bills defense? So you guys think that he can maybe get a second-round pick if he has a good preseason?
Right now?
A good preseason.
I don't think right now you could get anything more than like a sixth-round pick where you took him. That's the issue here is I don't want to trade him because I don't think you've upgraded the asset.
If you can get a second-round draft pick, I would say trade him.
Absolutely. Me too.
And I don't think there's any way in hell they're getting a second-round pick for him.
No, there isn't. No, no, no. But that's our point. One more year. One more. It's like a pass. You ever hear those coaches? One more. One more.
But you need to see him. So you based on just preseason action, or you think that Drake May will get hurt and then he'll get into regular season games and then he's going to show out in regular season games. And then all of a sudden you got... If he shows out in regular season games and games that count where teams aren't playing their backups like the Buffalo Bills were, then you don't trade him. You keep his ass. You don't trade him.
Well, that took a turn.
Okay, you keep him.
Then
that's what you do because all of a sudden now you got a history of Drake May getting injured, so you wouldn't trade him.
I also don't trust him, though. That's where I got to be honest with you. I'm sort of on your side of the street there. I don't care if I see a game next year where he has a great regular season game against a real defense, whatever. I would never trust him to be my long-term quarterback. And I also wonder if the Patriots feel the same way. I wonder if Josh Dobbs is here because they know Drake May got dinged up a couple times last year. And they look at Dobbs as a more suitable two-game option. The veteran, he started games. If we're going to hang around and be a wild card team, if we give it to Milton, we'll probably be out of it. They may not have faith in him to win multiple football games, start multiple football games. I think that might be why Dobbs is here. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to sucker somebody with Joe Milton. I'm trying to turn him into this facade of a franchise QB so somebody gives me a second or third round pick and I can move on and giggle as I walk away with the asset.
I'm 100% in on the idea of seeing if there's any way you can shine and polish up this diamond a little bit more or this gem, this piece of coal, Ted, and convince another team, like, look what we were able to get out of him. We've started his development process. He's smarter. He's better. He's more able than just the raw, strong-armed, back-flipping project that we got out of Tennessee for a six-round value pick. If you can take a six and turn it into a three, that's good investing.
Yeah, that was Ron Wolf. That was Elliot Wolf's dad, Ron Wolf, believed in that.
And that's maybe next year. Like, ultimately, ideally, I don't want him traded. I want him because I think he can be a viable backup. It's amazing to me that there's people. Look, I guess I just worry. I worry about the attitude behind the scenes. If he's fine, then you keep him. Then you absolutely keep him because I want insurance at that position. I'm just curious how that's going to play out.
I will say, Ted, you're right. The calls are lining up. The texts are coming in. He has become a bit of a lightning rod. So let's go to one of the phone lines.
Crazy.
Let's let the people talk. Tim in Hanover. What are your thoughts on this whole, well, actually, your subject line says it, but can you tell us what you told the screener so it'll be funnier if you say it? Go ahead, Tim.
You got it. Hey, guys, let me tell you, I love every one of you guys on the panel there. 50, you are so right about this whole deal. I've watched Milton and all that college football stuff. I'm a big college football guy. I wish I was a scout instead of having my regular job I have, honest to God. But the thing is, here's the deal. Milton has all the goods to be a very quality quarterback in the NFL. And the thing is, you've got Josh McDaniels. He's been great mentoring quarterbacks, obviously, right? He's got two good guys, Drake May and Milton. They should utilize his ability to keep him there and let him play. Every guy in this NFL, and Ted, you know better than anybody, let me tell you, every guy, they have to have their own confidence, and they all have that sense of, hey, I'm as good as the next guy. Well, let him keep it. Yeah. If there's animosity, just don't let it run wild because Josh McDaniels can handle that and make sure they stay in their lane and do what they got to do. But I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a great quarterback if he gets the right mentoring down the road, and he's going to be good for any team in the NFL.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Tim went soft when he went on the air because it said, "Keep Milton, you dummies," was his subject line. So he thinks it's dumb to even consider the possibility of trading Joe Milton?
I think it is too, unless there's issues behind the scenes, which I haven't heard that there's any. I just wonder. I speculate. If there's no issues, I think it would be dumb to trade him too. Again, I've heard reports that he thinks he's a starter, and that to me signals something in there that goes, okay, you know, is that going to be a problem behind the scenes, Fitzy? That's all.
Yeah, I can't imagine Joe Milton. I don't know him very, obviously, none of us know him. We only know what we've seen and what we've heard from practice fields, Instagram videos, post-game pressers at all, and strikes me as a pretty affable dude. I can't imagine that he'd be so mad that he's not starting by the second year of his career where he's had no professional starts to date, Ted, that he would sour all of a sudden, you know, one big, you know, win, if you will, against the third stringers for another AFC East team would make him think he's the man now, dog. And all of a sudden that would sour the quarterback room, which seems like it has good vibes. Yeah. I just can't buy it yet.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls on Joe Milton. Trade him? Keep him? Is he a threat to Drake May? We're going to bring Drake May into this discussion because I think what you believe about Joe Milton and what you should do with him ties into what you believe about Drake May. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, bring us what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by CCL, your local Timber Tech dealer. In the top of the 8th inning, the Red Sox just tied it up against the New York Yankees in spring training play on the road. Earlier on in the game, Masataka Yoshida hit a 2-run home run, while Roman Anthony also drove in another run. We had regular season baseball today as well. The Dodgers beat the Cubs in Game 1 of the Tokyo Series. Game 2 is tomorrow, first pitch at 6:10 a.m. Eastern. The Bruins lost to the Buffalo Sabres in overtime last night at TD Garden 3-2. Boston did get goals from Pavel Zacha and Morgan Geeky. Boston starts a 5-game Western road trip on Thursday night against Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights. The Celtics, meanwhile, host the Brooklyn Nets tonight at TD Garden. Tip-off is at 7:30. Two names on the Celtics injury report, but they're big ones. Jaylen Brown is out for tonight's game, while Jason Tatum is listed as questionable. And in football news from ESPN's Mike Reese, the Raiders hosted Patriots restricted free agent Christian Ellis on a visit, which could be an indication that they are considering an offer sheet. Las Vegas lost starting linebacker Robert Spillane to, of all teams, the Patriots in free agency last week. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NFL, free agent pass rusher Azeez Ojulari has agreed to a 1-year contract with the Eagles, while Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham announced his retirement today after 15 seasons in the league, and the Chiefs have made it official they have re-signed wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. It is never too early to start planning for your new deck and rail system from TimberTech. TimberTech is the number one premium advanced PVC and composite decking that captures the beauty of real wood. Visit CCL in Abington today to see a huge selection of TimberTech products or check us out online at cclco.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring?
Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I think Drake May's got the chance to be the most jaw-dropping, kind of the stuff that we saw from Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford this past Sunday type of stuff. The stuff we've seen from Joe Burrow. A little bit of that is going to be dependent upon kind of what they do around him. I was the person who was like, Drake May shouldn't play meaningful games this year. That offensive line is not good. I was very cautious of putting him out there when they did. He's been unbelievable. I think he's got a chance to be an unbelievable star.
WEEI Afternoons, and that was Dan Orlovsky reminding everyone.
Yeah, fans, all you fans that want Milton over Drake May.
Right. That Drake May is viewed as Josh Allen-like,
yeah.
Joe Burrow-capable. We're talking about...
But did you see the big arm in Joe Milton? Did you see
that's
him
great
beat the Buffalo Bills in the last regular season game?
Well, I did. It ruined everything.
Yeah, it absolutely ruined everything. But how about guys on the text line? A Maine listener up in the 207.
Love Maine.
If you use Milton correctly, you could have a new Taysom Hill kind of Swiss Army knife.
No, whoa. No. He doesn't want to do that. He has said flat out he does not want to do the tight end... H-back,
yeah,
whatever thing. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't want to, that would be a mistake because now you'd make him unhappy. He wants to be a quarterback.
Or get him hurt.
Let him develop. I don't know about, do you see that Bills linebacker bounce off him when he stood over him and just like demoralized the poor guy on an NFL field? I'm not worried about him getting hurt, but I just think let him develop as a quarterback. But it's important for us to remember Drake May was the third pick in the draft. Drake May was a Pro Bowler. Drake May was better than even his defenders thought. Like, he showed you. Like,
correct.
Go put the – I call them the recruiting videos, Ted. All those plays he made, dropping it in the bucket to Booty down the sideline, the 12 seconds to Ramondre Stevenson, yep. Some of the runs, which were just sneaky good.
Oh, my gosh. You kidding me? Avoiding pressure and then you're making, an 8-yard loss into a 4-yard gain.
I almost feel like –
switching the ball from the right hand to the left hand as he's running out of bounds because he doesn't want to fumble the football.
I almost feel like we need to put a highlight video together to remind people.
I feel like you're right.
That have forgotten because I know it. Yeah. We are simpletons, recency bias. Joe Milton played last. Joe Milton looked cool. Joe Milton's better than... No, that's not how that works. Just because it was last and looked cool doesn't mean it's the future, it's the best. It's anything. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Jesse in Rhode Island, what are your thoughts on this May versus Milton situation here in New England?
So I just wanted to point out the fact that how many times have the Patriots struck lightning in a bottle? I mean, we never thought that anyone was going to be as good as Bledsoe, but we got Brady. When Brady got injured, I remembered people saying, oh, we should have let Castle start. Yeah, how well do you think that would have been? We never thought we would have had, you know, the dynasty that we had in the early 2000s, but we got it back, you know, in the 2010s. You know, we never thought we'd get anyone like Welker again. We got Edelman. You can only strike lightning in a bottle so many times before you realize, like, you just have to go with the logical thing. And I think that that's what Patriots fans are used to. They think, oh, the backup, it's a new Brady. Maybe it's just a lot simpler than it is. Maybe the guy that was chosen third overall, and this is coming from someone who loves Milton, maybe the guy who was chosen third overall should just, you know, be the starter because there's a reason he was chosen third overall. Maybe. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jesse. Maybe. You know what I also think is important here? They were drafted in the same year. So the NFL as a whole made a decision. Drake May was going with the third pick. He was either going to the Patriots or to the Giants or somebody was going to trade up. Mm-hmm. And in that same draft class, all the teams said Joe Milton is not a first-round pick. He's not a second-round pick. He's not a third-round pick. He's not a fourth, right? Like, it was an apples-to-apples comparison. It's not like, oh, it's a different draft, so the value's... No, they were in the same draft, and the league said you're a sixth-round flyer, basically, despite the big arm and the big body. So the league showed you what they think of these two quarterbacks. And then...
I don't think one last regular season game against backups is going to all of a sudden convince the league that they were completely wrong on
correct.
It.
And that's where I do think it's important for us to put it in perspective. But it's not just us. We have a quote out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going here.
I do. I'm a little dubious of this, though.
What is this?
I am very dubious.
Well, I don't feel like it's an opinion as much, but well, go for it.
It's a very interesting setup, and I'm trying to get my computer to... Okay. So, Tony Grossi, who is a longtime writer in Cleveland, tied in, Browns, like...
Those radio there, too.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Covering the team for four decades.
So, this is taken from his mailbag, where he was asked, how serious have discussions been to trade for Joe Milton? That was from Hamp in Cleveland Heights, if you're interested. Hamp in Cleveland Heights asked that.
Good guy.
And Tony said, I floated the idea of trading for Milton last week with no evidence whatsoever the Browns had interest in doing so. There is no evidence they are discussing it. One drawback would be the cost. Now, I want you to listen to this sentence very closely.
I'm listening.
Sources closer to the situation than me expect the asking price of the Patriots to be a third-round pick. End sentence. So he doesn't actually say a Brown source. He says somebody who's a little closer than me, the writer guy who covers the team. And he said the asking price is expected to be a third-round pick. Not that they asked for a third-round pick or there's been any kinds of discussions. It's almost like people presuming or assuming, looking at the Patriots, what they might ask for. So it's kind of a very loose report, is I guess the way I'm saying.
Yeah, it is. But what I think people, where people come up with a third round and people think if that's what it's worth based on where he was drafted, what he showed last year on that last game, and the value of what a backup quarterback costs you, right? So so people are going to come up with third round. That seems about a fair asking price.
So he grew three rounds with one game
backups? That's what people are going to think, that he was if he was to have played that game, you know, in the last preseason game, it would look totally different. But he got a lot better as the season went on, clearly, because he went in and he beat the Buffalo Bills, backups, in the last regular season game.
We did have one texter that wanted to point out, Fitzy, that to be fair, all the Patriots players on offense are technically backups. So it was kind of a fair fight going backups versus backups. 100%.
He was the best of the backups. He was the most backupiest of all of them.
Starters on offense are mostly backups on other teams. Oh, to be fair.
Yeah.
It was backups to the backups.
So it was a preseason.
Maybe half this team would make the rest of the NFL. But at the same time, look at Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's out of action for the time being, perhaps forever. Who knows what his situation is. They just traded for Kenny Pickett, old Tiny Hands McGee. They don't have an answer. They're going to obviously be in the draft for a quarterback. So for Cleveland to think, like, why don't we just take a flyer on it? Why not? And if you're the Patriots, I'm just speculating here because we're in the silly season, but that is the time between free agency and the draft. You know, if you're the Patriots, why wouldn't you want to just, like, raise your ask? Like, hey, do you want to move? No. How much to get you out of this house? All right, let me make it's worth $500,000. $1 million. Sold. Okay. Well, all right, fine. I guess we're moving. We got $1 million. Why not?
Ted, I wanted to ask you, though, since you've been at the forefront of this Milton May debate, are you more worried that May isn't alpha enough to sort of stiff arm Joe Milton and his aura and whatever he brings? Or are you more worried about Milton being too aggressive in the way he perceives himself?
I think it's maybe the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Drake is, I'm a big fan of Drake's. It is mental makeup. I think he's alpha. I think he's a great leader. I think he's a guy that players are going to want to play for. I love his post-game comments. He takes accountability. He puts blame on himself, even when it really wasn't his fault. So I have. It's not about his leadership at all. It's just I just worry. You know, it's not only me, but I mean, heck, you had even Robert Kraft at the end of the season talking about, oh, we have two quarterbacks, huh? Now it's like, oh, dude, why are you stoking the fire, bro?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just there's a lot of talk about Joe Milton, the fans. I'm listening to fans. I'm listening to shows, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it just feels like there's a lot of momentum towards Joe Milton, and that worries me of changing the dynamic in the room. You know, last year, they were both just trying to survive. This year, now that they have film, they both won the same amount of games. One played, started 10 games. One started one game. You have their owner saying, oh, we have two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I just worry that that potentially could be a problem with Joe Milton sitting, you know, family gets in the ear. Hey, man. Hey, Joe. That Drake May, he can't do anything you can't do, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's where I worry. And then there's, who knows, problems behind the scenes. But I will say, that, give it another year. You need him. You need a backup quarterback. And you see how he acts in preseason. If he comes into camp and all of a sudden the attitude shifted, the energy shifted, and you feel like it's a detriment to the team, then you do something about it. Otherwise, you stay the course.
Because I'm with you, and that's why I want to stay the course, is mainly my feelings for Drake May. I said all along, mm-hmm. when I wanted to play him right out the gates, you can't break a diamond. If he's who we think he is, if he's who we expect him to be, if you're putting him in the same sentence like Dan Orlovsky with Joe Burrow, who has ice in his veins, cool as can be, the cigars, the whole thing. If you're putting him in that sentence, then you think Drake May is more than just an arm and a throwing ability. Like, you like his makeup.
And that's what frustrates me, Fitzy, is I hear Dan say that, and I couldn't agree more. And I've been saying that for all last year, and no one seems to get it. It feels like the fans here don't understand the genius in which the players that played the game, coaches that coached the game. I mean, you had Sean McVay going crazy for this kid. You had Mike McDaniel going crazy for it. These are two forward-thinking offensive great minds just going crazy about the Patriots quarterback, yet the fans want Joe Milton. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Because the backup is always the sexiest guy in town. That's why.
At least until May becomes whatever we hope he becomes, right? Once he establishes himself, like Brady's backups were never popular because he had established himself as I'm the guy. Josh Allen's backups.
Jimmy had a thing. Jimmy had a moment.
That was dumb. That was a dumb thing.
But you said never. But I'm just still saying, like, Jimmy had a moment. And as far as Joe Milton goes, we've had this is paralysis by analysis season, Ted. Like, we have too much time to think it over. We're overthinking the obvious. The correct answer is the first answer, which was the obvious answer, and it was the one that was right there in front of us all this time. People are just, they saw Joe Milton, and they saw the team play better. He's got a little recency bias going on there as well. Joe Milton might one day turn into something fun for somebody else. You already have someone that the entire world told you was a certified, guaranteed, bona fide stud. So why futz with the success that you should have? Oh, and by the way, he's never worked with anybody like Josh McDaniels. We may not even have glimpsed Drake May's ceiling.
It is. I am, aren't you? Sorry.
No, I was just going to go back. We have Tom and Hull hanging on. He wanted to join the conversation. Sounds like he is into the idea of trading Joe Milton. Tom, what's up?
Absolutely. Fitzy, I love you, buddy. You are the best. I am all on board with 50. If someone wants to give us a third rounder for Joe Milton all day, Drake May, when he ran around that game at the end of the game and found, I think it was Stevenson in the end zone, right then clinched it for me. This kid is the absolute real deal. I would grab a third rounder. That gives me another tackle or a guard. I can go out and get a really good one. I would get a veteran backup quarterback that can work and be like that, you know, like that second coach, you know, that can help Drake. That's what I would do. All right, boys, love listening to you.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Something to look for is the Patriots bringing in another quarterback, a fourth quarterback, for the very reason of trading Joe Milton at the end of training camp.
Okay.
He put some good tape on there.
That's what you want.
You got, you know what, you have, you got to have three quarterbacks.
Right.
You don't want to go in with maybe just, I wouldn't think they would feel comfortable with just Josh Dobbs and Drake May. So if you want Joe Milton traded, to me, their best chance is at the end of training camp, after he's got some preseason tape, and then you've already got a third in there to, you know, a fourth in there to be the third once you've traded him.
I got to tell you, I never thought when I watched Drake May develop over the course of last season, we'd be in the month of March debating Joe Milton, Drake May, what the hell's going on. But here we are. It's what we do. We talk. We analyze. Fans have opinions. It's fun. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted told you that he's a little down on the NCAA tournament. He'll expand on those thoughts because I'm with him, even though I am mildly intrigued by what's going on down in Providence, where John Calipari and Rick Pitino could meet in the second round if they both win. That could be fun. But Ted, He ain't having it. And that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Looks like we lucked out. We maybe have two quarterbacks.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The number one overall seed in the tournament. It's a regular season champions in the SEC, the Auburn Tigers. They will be the number one seed in the South. Auburn, a number one seed for the second time in its basketball history. Louisville and Creighton in the 8-9 game. You see Auburn, after a tough loss to Tennessee in the semis, ready to get restarted and pursue a national championship and the second trip to the Final Four under Bruce Pearl. They win in 2019 as well, so that is Auburn's path.
From Selection Sunday, it is NCAA tournament time. Yes, the SEC, they couldn't just have football. Now they dominate basketball, too. A quarter of the tournament is SEC basketball teams now. And it gets underway this week. As I said, there is a there's a region in Providence down at the, I think they call it the AMP now, down in Providence. Former
That's
Duncan
what they call it, the AMP?
I believe so. I think it's the Amica Mutual Pavilion, and they call it the AMP.
That's now, adorable.
It's actually not a bad little nickname for a facility. Real quick, I want to get one more call in on the Milton May situation before we get to the NCAA tournament. Ralph in Cranston, what are your thoughts on Joe Milton and his future with the Patriots, Ralph?
Hey, guys. Look, first of all, I don't think you're getting a number three pick for him anyway. Someone's going to try to steal him. But I would never, at this point, trade him. I would look, you can do so many things with him. First and goal with the four. This guy's like having a fullback in there. You could bring him in now and then. And what if May breaks a finger, gets a terrible injury? Now you don't have to give up the season in the fifth or sixth game and say, you know what? Well, you know, we're going to put this schlep quarterback in here. I like Milton. And I think someday he's going to be a good NFL starter. Why not keep him? We're not going anywhere this year as far as, like, deep into the playoffs. So why would you trade this guy now? Guys, I like him. I like what he does. And he gives you another look just in case you want to do it. Do not trade this guy. I wouldn't do it at this point.
All right,
I
love thanks it. For the call, Ralph. That was like a three-point stance. He really, like, ended
no, but
like,
I love
it was
it.
A buzzer.
I mean, think about that. Think about fourth and one, third and goal on the two. Those high leverage points in a game where you really need – You know, that's where I'm kind of like you do the Saints kind of thing that they did with Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. Like you kind of every now and then you can kind of just throw them off. And with Josh as your OC, I bet you'd come up with some good schemes.
Absolutely,
for that.
And they did it a little bit last
Love
year.
Love that idea, Ralph.
Late in the year, they used Jacoby Brissett as the short yardage QB sneak quarterback. And there's clearly a little hesitancy there with them. Using Drake May for those, just sort of those right up the gut, take too many hits. He had a couple concussions. Yeah. If you have this opportunity to utilize Joe Milton in that way, that might be an option, and Josh will probably find it. So, Ted.
Yeah.
You hate the NCAA tournament.
I hate the NCAA tournament.
Jeez.
I just wasn't into it, and it was hard for me to maybe formalize my thoughts until I read Dan Shaughnessy this morning on the Boston Globe, and I'm gonna just read a few things that he wrote. In his column today that I just it resonated with me, and I think part of it is because I have a son that plays soccer in college.
Yep.
You have a son, Andy, that's going to go play football in college. So this for parents that have kids that are in college playing sports, I think you'll probably agree with me. I'll be surprised if you don't, but this is basically what he had to say. He basically said he's out on the NCAA tournament. That being Dan Shaughnessy, he said they could play it in his backyard and he'd still wouldn't watch. All right, and he says this: not that anyone cares anymore, but when you watch the big schools in this tournament, it's impossible to buy the notion that we're watching students at play. Oregon traveled more than 26,000 miles to play its Big Ten schedule. That doesn't sound like you're doing it. You're a student athlete. Today's NCAA basketball is unregulated. Unregulated professional basketball, frothy fans boost their favorite schools, screaming their heads off for the skilled professional players, most of whom have zero allegiance to said college, and some of whom may never set foot in a classroom or interact with anyone on campus outside of the athletic department or the compliance office. He goes on to say, players who are unhappy with their compensation or playing time rush to transfer, and some big-time men's basketball rosters turn over annually. Big-time NCAA basketball has become professional basketball without the rules that govern the NBA. And I'm going to give you one more point. This is what Belichick was saying basically the college football is going to. It's more of a pro model. And this is exactly the same thing in basketball, guys. we'll just use this one player as a kind of example of what Dan is saying. Take a look at St. John's guard, Devon Smith. He's a 23-year-old player, and this is his fourth NCAA Division I school. He went from Mississippi State to Georgia Tech to Utah. He's finally in St. John's with Pitino, and he's played five college seasons, a total of 137 games already.
He's got good garb. A lot of sweatshirts, swag.
Sounds like the Jaden Daniels of the NCAA men's tournament.
And so there's a lot of kids that are just older kids. And let's face it, again, the NIL money encourages transferring. The transferring portal encourages just less continuity, no development. We were talking about just the bad basketball. These kids don't get developed. You can't tell me you can go from four different teams in 5 years and be a well-developed player and think, you know, it's going to transfer to good basketball.
Yep.
No, and a lot of good coaches are leaving the game. Jay Wright left Villanova. Tony Bennett stepped down from UVA because of all the new headaches that come with it. Nick Saban left Alabama. And so you're not going to get the best coaches, and you're not going to get the best developed players. And ultimately, I think the product sucks. And the impetus for all of this is all these rich boosters giving money to the schools to get more NIL money to attract more. They're ruining the game in a sense by donating money for the NIL. They might be propping their school up, but it's ruining the game as a whole.
Short-term, immediate gains.
There you go.
No long-term. I agree with you. I noticed this a lot last year when, Fitzy, you realize these games are really, they're not, there's no teams or very few teams, I guess some of the smaller schools that, you're like, oh, I remember that kid when he was a freshman 2 years ago. Now he's a junior and he's leading this team and they've played together for 3 years and they play good basketball. You know, the old Princeton back cuts are like, it's five athletes taking the floor for a coach who hired them essentially, didn't even recruit them.
They basically hired them probably five months ago in the summer.
And they meet and they're really athletic so they can win some games, but it's not great basketball. And then for me, you mix in the prevalence of the three-point shooting, which I don't love, and it's just like it's three-point shooting contest by mercenaries. That's really what it is.
To me, once the NCAA instituted or reinstituted one and done, I think it just, like, you add that to the transfer portal and it's just, you know, nope, like I can't keep track. I can't develop the relationships with the players, the relationships with the teams. There's no long-term commitment to it. So what you basically have, Ted, is just this big casino-style ham scramble of laundry and random fun team names that you throw money at in brackets just to go yell, compete with your friends in an absence of fantasy football, or yell at a sports bar or the FanDuel Sportsbook and just get silly. It's a reason to get together because this is the dead time of sports. Honestly, I can't see any other reason to get excited about it.
And Fitz, you know what I'll do? I'll watch the first two days of games, or first weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What are the storylines? Who do I like? Where's Sister Mary? Who's the new Sister Mary?
Right.
And then that kind of captivates me for the rest of the games. I don't know any of these teams. I don't care for all the reasons I mentioned. I'll watch this weekend, and then I'll go, oh, that seems like an interesting story. And then I'll maybe start watching because of a storyline that intrigues me.
And then three old white guys on the radio will yell, get off my lawn, you damn college basketball players. We don't like you anymore. 617-779-7937. Speaking of things that we debate how interested we are, Major League Baseball is underway. It's a half world away. It's in Japan. It was a hot ticket. They say it was a hotter ticket than the Super Bowl. And the Dodgers are 1-0 after beating the Cubs. The season is underway, and we'll hit on some Red Sox action because they played split squad today. Christian Campbell, was he at second base? What's he doing? Is he ready to go? That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.